I sold 177 books. 76, that's a lie. 176 books. That's how much I sold. I wrote down. So I have been writing the sentences down, right? And I wrote down on the Wednesday, I sold 100 books. That's what I wrote down. And I was like, I hope to fuck, I fucking do that so that I can actually, so that I can actually say it. So I sold it in a week. Well, it's been a week tomorrow. I've sold 176, which to be fair is fucking, it's fucking ludicrous when you say it out loud. What happened was, let me explain to you all the things that fucking happened, right? When I woke up on the Tuesday, I had even scheduled my fucking podcast in, right? Because I was too busy the night before trying to make sure everything was ready for this fucking thing to happen. So at 8 o'clock in the morning, I get up. Obviously, it's the October holidays, so the younglings are off. I get up first thing in the morning, and I was like, do you know what, man? I made a huge big fucking song and dance about not listening to myself, not listening to the podcast anymore. And I was like, I'm fucking just going to go and I can't sleep. I couldn't sleep. So I got up really fucking early and I sorted loads of stuff. And I was like, do you know what? I'm just going to go out and listen to this thing. So I did. I had a little bit of Special Herbs and Spices and I went out and I fucking listened to my podcast, right? And the whole time I was going round, I was like, I wonder, I'm not checking. I'm not doing that. I'm not going to be the person that keeps checking my phone constantly to see if people have bought it. So at 8 o'clock, I never looked and I just walked for about an hour. And by the time I get back, I checked my phone and I don't know how many I'd sold at that point, but by 10 o'clock, I'd sold 30. And I know, if you listen to last week, you'll know that I needed to sell 30 to run of 100, basically. I was like, I didn't think I'd sell anymore. Honestly, I don't know if it's fucking... Is it me? It is me. It is. It's because of the things that... It's in my way. I don't want to be the person that turns around and goes, I'll just fucking sell a million. I'll just sell a fucking million, because you sound like a... There's a fine line, I think, between when someone's got confidence and when they're an arrogant asshole, right? And I think... I don't ever want to go into the bit where I'm like, you're an... I was watching a thing about Tracy Morgan the other day. It was on that The Dark Side of Comedy series, which is... they're on Vice. And it was about him. And it was about being humble. There was a bit in it where they were talking about how what a humble person he was and all that. And I was like, I hope that's me. I hope I'm a humble person. I'm not like a fucking talk. Do you know what I mean? Like that. But then I suppose you kind of need that bit in your head. I suppose that's why, you know what I mean? You hear like when people talk about like Muhammad Ali and the way that he just said, I'll just fucking smoke the guy. That'll be it. Don't fucking worry about it. The thing will be over in 10 seconds. I'm not that guy fucking clean out. And then Conor McGregor, I suppose, is the same. But then he's a fucking... Some of the things I watch him doing, I'm like, you are a bit of a fucking... I wouldn't say it to him. I wouldn't say it to his face because he would kick my fucking head in. But like, I'd be like, you're a bit of a fucking... Do you enjoy the smell of your own farts? Do you know what I mean? Whereas, I don't know. I think there probably is quite a subsection of people who fart and then stick their hand under the covers to smell it. Do you know what I mean? And you know who you are, because when I said that, you would have laughed. You would have laughed. Be like, oh, fuck, that's me. I hope nobody finds out. So I sold... It's not that I didn't think I would sell 100. I didn't think I would sell 100 that fast. That was the thing. I didn't think that was going to happen. I thought maybe I'd get my 30 by the end of the week and I'd be like, all right, great. And then I would sit in 70 for ages, right? So by the time I got to 10 o'clock, I was like, right, that's me. I broke even. Fucking brilliant. By the time I got to, I don't know, maybe lunchtime, I was like, I've sold 50. Like, now I've only got 50 left. And then I was like, I've told everybody that I'm going to do 100. I'm only doing 100. And I'm like, that's not a very wise business decision, which is where... So listen, yesterday, I had a fucking... This was one of those things. I came up with the idea at the time, right? And I was like, this is fucking brilliant. This is a brilliant idea. And then later that day, when the haze disappeared, I was like, is that a good idea? What had happened was, I was out again, another walk, right? Because that's all I've done. That's all I've done this week, is just try and figure out how I'm going to sell this fucking thing, the guide. Do you know what I mean? That's all I've done. It's like, how do I do this? Anyway, what the fuck was I talking about? I was talking about the... So, I'll tell you this thing out. So, Audrey sent me back the tracks for Seemingly Meaningless. That's the name of the EP. And the reason it nearly wasn't the name of the EP, right? It was nearly called something else, but I didn't have another name. But the reason it's now 100% called Seemingly Meaningless is because that's the name I wrote in the back of the book. When I wrote down about the author, which is hilarious, right? It's the only thing I've written in third person in the whole fucking book, right? But that bit there, and I listed my albums. And I listed all the recordings that I've done, and I put on it seemingly meaningless, and I was like, well, that's it. That's the fucking name of that thing then. That's it. That's that decided now, because you've put it in the back of the book. You've put it in the back of the guides. There's no way you can fucking change it now. Do you know what I mean? So I was out and I was giving that a listen, right? And there's a song. So this will be the single. This will be the single. It wasn't going to be the single. I wasn't even going to do a fucking single, but I think I need to tell... I hope you're fucking comfortable, because it is just going to be an absolute fucking tirade of nonsense today, right? But like, what I was saying was, when I was out in my big block and I was listening to the tracks that Audrey had sent me, right? Lauren, so it's Audrey and Lauren own Nova Sound. So I recorded the EP in 2 days at Nova Sound with Audrey. Lauren was doing other things. She was away working somewhere. And then what happened was, Audrey went away for a week, 2 weeks maybe, and she mixed all the stuff. And then, and was communicating back with Lauren, who was adding, she added extra vocals on stuff and played organ. But there's one track in particular called Gone, right? Which is, it's a sad song. I'm playing a gig on Saturday. I need to tell you that as well. I'm playing a gig on Saturday and I can't tell you where it is. I can't tell you where it is and I'm not going to tell you where it is, right? And I'll let yous know. I'll let the people that are listening to the podcast know. I'm going to use this as a fucking proper test, by the way. I know I've been threatening for ages to do stand-up. I know, like, every fucking week or so, every couple of weeks, I'll be like that. Oh, I'm going to be a fucking stand-up comedian. And I don't bother my ass to do anything about it. But I suppose I did. I went for that fucking thing and then they sold all the tickets. They done a me. They sold all the fucking tickets in 2 hours, so they did. And then they went... Oh, well, we'll need to release more. And then by that time, I was away. If you don't know what I'm talking about, it's because you haven't listened to all the rest of the stuff and I can't be fucked explaining it, right? So what happened was, what the fuck am I talking about now? So see this gig that I'm playing that I'm not, let me take a drink of tea. I've been holding this for fucking ages, man. I'm playing a gig on Saturday. I'm going to play the 4 songs that I've written for the EP. I'm going to take this camera. I'm going to take a big, long XLR, right? I'm going to take the microphone that isn't there, that's somewhere, I think is in that case, and I'm going to attach it onto a microphone stand, and I'm going to record the gig. I'm going to record the gig of me talking shite, and if it goes well, if it's good, that will be next week's podcast. So Confessions of a Wildest Chaser 88 will be me live from this place, if it's good and if it works. If it doesn't work, what I'm going to do is I'm going to chop out all the songs, and I'm going to upload them on to my YouTube channel as like a gig like that. So you can listen to them. But they're not, the songs that I've recorded aren't acoustic. Anyway, there's a fucking song called Gone, right? Which I wrote. It's sad as fuck. It's a really sad song, right? I'm not going to tell you anything about it, but it's a really sad song. And the reason, I wrote a song ages ago, right? Called Where Did We Go? That's the way, not Where Did We Go? It's called Where Do We Go? And I wrote it when I was like fucking... I don't even know what age I was, man. I don't think I was in my 30s anyway. I wrote it when I didn't even have kids. So I did. I wrote it when I still lived with my mum and I was spending every night and every day sitting in my bedroom recording fucking songs that no one would ever hear. And then that song, I never recorded it. And then I did record it one day when I'd done the Darker Days EP. Listen to me if you're talking about my fucking... my music and all that. Obviously, all that fucking worried about what people think about you is out of the book. I'm a fucking award-winning... I'm a fucking sellout author, by the way. Fuck the lot of yous. I can say what I want, man. So what happened was the fucking... What a way to fucking... That's how you keep fans in it. That's how you keep people going, oh, you've got to listen. But he tells us to shut the fuck up and just listen to him all the time. It's great. He's such a lovely person. The fucking... I wrote that song, right? And it's sad as fuck. It is. It's sad as fuck. And I wrote it... how do you explain this? See, sometimes, I'm getting sick of all the songs I've ever written that I get a bit of the autobiographical bit about them, right? And I'm kind of getting fucking sick of that because I can't write happy music about myself. I've not got the heart to write a song about I sold 176 books. Do you know what I mean? Like, I couldn't do it. So there's always a wee bit of the fucking sadness in there, right? So that song I wrote, and it was fucking, I don't even know why I did, I wrote it. Both my grandparents were alive at the time when I wrote this. This is a true story. Both my grandparents were alive at the time when I wrote this song. This could be a classic case of fucking overshading here, man, right? But what happened was, eventually they died, because that's what happens. People die, right? So I'd written this song, and I'd recorded the song with my mate Graham, while the band was still together, but while my grandparents were still alive, right? And then what happened was, no, it wasn't. Is it a fucking lie? I don't know the fucking timescale. Anyway, when my grandad's funeral, right? I'd let people hear this song. I let a couple of people hear this song, and one of the bits of feedback I got from someone was, No, just no. That was the, and this was the song that were like, just, that's fucking, don't fucking play. That's a fucking, don't. That's a horrible fucking thing. It's shite. That's what I get told for this person. In fact, I didn't even get told that from this person. The text just said, no, just no. I made up the rest. I made up the rest of the fucking things in my head. So I never fucking put that song out at all. Never done it, right? Now, here's the thing. Graham Byron, who recorded the album, it wasn't an album, it's an EP, there's like six songs on it, Darker Days, available on Spotify right now, and iTunes, maybe, fuck knows, I'd need to check my thing. When I recorded that, I've done it in one take because I'm fucking brilliant, man. I can't tell you how fucking good I am at this shit, by the way. I've done it in one take, right, and I said to Graham before I went in, listen, I'm going to try and do this really fucking sad song, right, and I'm going to try my best not to cry. I'm going to try my best not to fucking start weeping like a fucking emotional wreck by the time I get to this thing. And I did, right, I got to the end of the thing, but I was fucking, it's hard, man, it's a hard fucking song to sing. I've never played it in front of anybody ever, right? And when I went through after I'd done it, I opened the door and Graham's sitting there and the twos have got big red fucking eyes, and the twos just started laughing at each other like, what the fuck, man? Like, fucking 4 minutes ago it was hilarious, everything was fucking hilarious, but we're pointing and laughing at stuff, and then all of a sudden I sing this song, the twos are grown fucking men cuddling and weeping and shit like that, right? So that's what happened. I don't think Graham will mind you telling me that, do you know what I mean? He might hear this in message and go, why the fuck, I wasn't crying, you fucking dick. So basically what had happened was, I'd done that song and he'd never ever done anything with it, never ever put it out because of the no, just no. Because I heard the no, just no, right? And then my granddad died, right? Holy fuck, man, I can't believe it. I had no intention of telling you this fucking story. It's just fucking happened. I'm a classic oversharer, right? My granddad died, and my mum, I think it was my mum had said, or I'd said to my good lady wife, that's what happens, right? I said to my good lady wife, I goes, listen, I've got this song, right, that I've never let anybody hear. It's about... What it's about is when my grandparents were still alive. I don't know why I fucking wrote this, man. I don't know why. I just imagined what it would be like for my granda to lose my gran. That's what I imagined what would happen. And that is what happened. Like, my gran died first, and then my granda died, right? And I wrote this tune 10 years before it fucking happened. And then I said to my wife, I was like, can I play you this song? And then you can tell me, because there's a bit of me that say I should... this should be one of the songs that's played at my grandest funeral. And then there's another bit of me going, shut the fuck up. Why the fuck do you think these things? You'll never sell 100 books and do, you know what I mean, your fucking head case. So what happened was, I played the song and I never said a thing, and I tried my best to hide the fucking... You know I'm an emotional wreck. There's no way that you, if you've listened to 87 of these fuckers, you know I'm a fucking emotional wreck and I cry at adverts and all that. I remember when my fucking youngest... when my youngest was getting, not getting born, but when I found out I was going to be a dad, right, after the fucking shock, after that, because I sank a bottle of whiskey that night, that's how fucking terrified I was about being a fucking dad, and I was crying at adverts and all that. There was a fucking Aviva advert that somebody was walking, I didn't know it was about fucking watching your kids getting married or something. I was fucking bawling my eyes out, man, like, I can't help it, I'm just like this fucking big, mad, crying fucking head case, like, that is basically... what had happened. So I'd played this song and I sat in the couch. I was supposed to be talking about a fucking book, and I sat in the couch and I played this fucking song and I never said a word, and I tried to hide the tears, and I turned around and looked at my wife after it was finished, and she's like, like, she wasn't quite crying like that, but she was like, yeah, you should definitely play that thing. So I sent it to my sister and I sent it to my mum, and they all said, yeah, you need to play that. So when my granddad died, this get played at the cremation, right? And I never played it live. There's no fucking way. There is no fucking way I could have got up and played this in front of people. There's no way I could. I don't think I could ever do it. I don't think I could ever play a gig and get up and play this song. I think this is just one of the songs that has to sit. It just has to sit. I can't do anything about it. So fucking... oh, let me take a drink of tea. Jesus Christ, on a bicycle, man. So we played it. We played the song. And because I got up at my gran's funeral, I spoke at my gran's funeral, and towards the end, I was like, I can't fucking do this, man. Like, I dread the thing, and I can't remember what she'd... there was a line in it that, because my mum wrote it, I never wrote it, right? Because I didn't think I could write at this point. I didn't think I was able to write things at this point. Fucking author, know what I mean? And then what happened was my mum had wrote this thing. My gran never wrote it. Imagine that. I'd do that. I'd write, this is what you're going to say about me when I die. Here's fucking 12 sheets of A4, front and back. She'd written the thing and I started reading it. And when I started reading it, there was a line in it about her becoming a gig-going granny, because my gran used to come to my gigs and stuff like that. And that was the bit where I was like, oh, for fuck's sake, here we go, right? So when my granda died, I was sitting... And the fucking priest, it was a priest who said, this song's by such and such, the grandson, whatever. And they played that song, right? And I was fucking honest. I was tears and snorters. There was, honest to God, it was like I was fucking sniffing onions. That's how bad my fucking eyes were, right? Just taking lines of onions at my granda's funeral. And then what happened was, when the song finished, I could just hear everybody going, I could hear everybody crying. I was like, holy fuck, man. And then the priest came up to me after it, and the priest was like that. Did you write that song? I was like, I did write that song. And he was like, I'm fucking that. He swore that's how fucking impressed the priest was. He was like, fuck me sideways with a spirit level, by the way. That's a fucking, you wrote that fucking song. Why am I telling you this? So see this other song that I've written, Gone, right? That is a really sad song. It's a really sad song. I can't tell you why I wrote it. I can't tell you why I wrote it. I can't tell you why I wrote that one, right? But it came out. And when I recorded it with Audrey, I'd done an acoustic guitar over it, right? And it didn't, I didn't feel that it sounded right. It didn't feel right. But everything else sounded okay. Like the chorus sounded great, but it was just the verses. I was like, they don't fucking sound right. And when Audrey sent me the original mixes, she was like, I was thinking about getting Lauren to play an accordion. Holy fuck, that would be amazing. Not an accordion, an organ. Why am I talking about an accordion? Because I nearly bought a squeeze box. I nearly bought a squeeze box the other day because what the fuck was I watching? I was watching something. Only Murders in the Building. I'm watching Only Murders in the Building. I think that's what it's called. And there's a bit in it where Steve Martin plays a squeeze box. And straight away, I was Googling squeeze boxes. I was like, I could play a fucking squeeze box like Steve Martin. And then... what the fuck am I talking about? Audrey sent us the track. I was listening to the fucking track. She said, I was thinking about getting Lauren to play an organ on it. And I was like, that would be great. When you do that, could you take all the other instruments out, the verse, right? And keep the chorus. So the choruses are really big and just make it organ and vocal. So she done that and she sent it to me. And I was like, this is fucking, that's exactly it. That sounds fucking great. And I was like, that's the single. Right, now. I'm here, I'm back in the room. This is what I was trying to tell you. So when I was out listening to the tracks that day, this is after the book, was this yesterday? I think it was yesterday. I was listening to it and it's about 11 seconds before the vocal kicks in that song, right? And in my head, I was like, maybe I need to shorten that down. Maybe it needs to be the vocal comes in straight away with the organ, because that's what people want. That's what they want for the radio play and all that sort of stuff, like the vocal to come in as quick as fuck and all that kind of thing. And in my head, I was like, because this is what happened with the book. In my head, I was like, when I sold the 30, I was like, is it a good business decision? See, if I was a publisher, which I am, not only am I an author, folks, I'm a fucking publisher as well. I'm a fucking publisher. So I was like, if my publishing company was like, so you've sold 30 in 2 hours, we've only got 100, we need to buy more. That's what they would say. That's how the business would drop, buy fucking more. So in my head, I was like, right, I'm just going to buy more. Whatever I sell today, right, whatever I sell on the first day, I'm going to sink it back into books, and that's it. And then what happens is, whatever you sell for the rest of the week, that's you. So for the first day, I sold 77, which is fucking mental to say that out loud. I sold 77. So I took all that money and I fucked into books. I took every single penny that I made, right? And I fucked the whole thing into books, and I could get 250 for my money. And I was like, right, cool, that's it. And then in 2 days, I sold 100. And by the time I'd sold 100, I was like, I've now got 150 left. Am I being a dick by saying to people, by the way, there's more? Am I being a dick by doing that? Because maybe a lot of people bought it because they thought there was only 100. But then at the end of the day, I'm like, well, I wasn't only ever going to do 100. I only thought I was going to ever be able to sell 100 at the beginning. I thought I'd sell more later. And I was like, fuck it. So this is what happened when I was out doing my walk and I was listening to that song, right? I was like, well, what would your record company say? If you had a record company, which I do, Eggman Records, they would be telling me. That would be telling me, they would chop that bit down at the front. Like it needs to, the vocal needs to come in. It needs to be that. That's your single. That needs to be big. That needs to, this is the way it needs to do. Do it. And then I thought to myself, why the fuck would I do that? I'm not a fucking. See, if I wanted that to happen, I'd have fucking signed a deal with a record company if they'd have wanted me, but they never have. But like that's what I would have done. And then I thought, what if the Eggman was like the egg? What you've got to imagine now is this. This is what, this is me talking to myself, by the way. This is what I'm saying to myself. What you've got to do now is this. It's no longer you that makes the decisions, right? When it comes to everything that you own and you've made, it's the Eggman that makes the decisions. When it comes to the records, when it comes to putting out the music and all that stuff, it's the Eggman that makes the decisions. Not fucking Tragic O'Hara. It's the Eggman, right? And in my head, I had a thing came to my head where it was the Eggman. Because I started painting the Eggman. I don't know if I've ever talked about this, but I started drawing the Eggman and drawing him in different, like what I thought he would look like and stuff, right? And in my head, I was like, imagine. I just get a picture of the Eggman sitting at a desk, right, with someone on the phone going, we don't need all the drama, get the vocal to come in at the start, or something along the lines, and the Eggman shouting down at the phone and them going, you tell the man, because that's the three villains, that's the three imaginary villains that I have in my head, right, the man, the system, and the algorithm, right, not in that order, because the algorithm, the man, and the system, that's the reason I've got Fuck the System, I Am the World is tattooed on my leg, that's why I've got that, right, because that's the three imaginary villains. Because all my life, I've always had real enemies that are people that I haven't. Like, I'd make up people. Like, I'd go, that's my enemy. I need to beat this person at this imaginary fucking thing. Like that's what I'd done for years. And it never led me anywhere good. So I made up three fucking imaginary villains. The man. And what the man's saying on the phone to the Eggman is, fucking, we need to get rid of the drama, get the vocal to come in quicker. And the Eggman's saying down the phone, you tell the man he needs to wait 11 seconds for the vocal to kick in like everybody else. And that, and then I was like, I could draw that. I could draw that, and that could be a thing that comes out to promote the fact that the single's coming out or the EP's coming out and all that sort of stuff. And then I went in this mad fucking tangent about how, instead of me thinking it's me that's making these decisions, I need to think about what someone separate from me would make these decisions. Like in my head, I'm like, no, don't do that. Don't fuck all the money into the books. Don't do that. Just sell your 100, right? Whereas the penguin, the elementary penguin, was going, no, that's not how it works. You need to fucking get the book and then get more, and then say, that's how it works. That's how the penguin, the elementary penguin, that's what it, so these things have started become, man, I might have more wrong with me than fucking combined ADHD, by the way, but that's, these five things running in my head are the, they look after these different things, basically. So, like, next thing I know, like, the Eggman's a character, the elementary penguin's a character, the expert to expert is just the expert, that's the guy, he's like a mad computer fucking thing, I haven't quite figured him out yet, but the corporation t-shirt is just called the t-shirt, and the t-shirt's like this big fucking, that's what makes all the stuff that makes all the money. And I've written all this stuff down in my book. Like, I'll show you what I wrote down, right? I don't know if people like when I do this, but I like when I do this because it's fucking, it makes sense to me. This is all the shit that I wrote down. If you're listening to this in the audio version, you won't see it. I apologize profusely, but that's all the shit that I wrote down, right? About how, where they all fit in and how everything fights each other. Like the Eggman versus the man, and it would be the t-shirt versus the money. And do you know what I mean? That's what I'd written. And then the next thing I know, I was like, that could be your second book, could be all these imaginary conversations in your head and all that sort of shit. And then I kind of went off that idea. I came out of my misty haze and I was like, maybe that isn't a good idea. But what the fuck was I talking about? I sold all the books. Let me take a drink of tea. Jesus fucking Christ. Let me take a drink of tea. Thank you very much. So that's where I'm at. That's where I'm at with the whole thing. I've sold 176 and I've sold more. Listen, I've sold loads in Australia. There's a big percentage of the ones that I've sold, and I've sold ones in Canada, Australia, New Zealand. The amount of people in fucking England, I was like, what the fuck? There's people buying them. Like, I thought if I was selling them, I would just know every, like, when the orders came in, I thought I'd recognise everybody's name. I thought, oh, they're the fucking, do you know what I mean? But it was, all this shit was coming in. So I don't know these, but a lot of these people, like, I don't fucking know them. Why are they, do you know what I mean? Like, it's weird as fuck. So It set me, I was doing all this planning anyway, but it set me in this pure tirade about like, right, no, I need to get this press release together. I need to do this. I need to do that. I need to do all this sort of shit. And that's what I started doing, man. Let me get comfy in this seat. Like, I think I can definitely get comfy when I'm sitting here. Like that's where I'm at, right? And I can't believe it, and I can believe it at the same time, right? There's a bit of me that's like, well, yeah, probably. Because there's been a lot of people that I've told you that they're looking forward to this thing coming out and reading it. There's been a lot of people have told you that. But at the same time, I didn't think it would be... I've never had anything... Not that it came easy, but I've never had anything... Everything's always felt like a struggle when it comes to stuff like that. Like, it's always felt like this will be hard to try and sell. Like, I'm still sitting on, for example, I did a t-shirt run about 2 years ago, 3 years ago. I'm still sitting on those t-shirts. Like, I still have those t-shirts that I bought 3 years ago, sitting in a fucking box through there, hanging up on the coat hangers and shred. That's where they are. I'm still sitting on those t-shirts. So I've always thought, right, you're going to sit in these for a while, so you're going to need to find a place to put stuff. I've never had a thing happen where it's been like, holy fuck, that went absolutely mental for a while there. Like, that went crazy. Like, there was a point where I was like, I need to switch my phone off. I need to stop looking at my phone, because I just feel like all I'm doing now is just sporadically checking my phone every 10 minutes to see if I've sold anymore, and that's not productive. That's not a productive way to be. So, pardon me for burping there. But that's where I'm at. That's where I'm at with the whole thing, man. And thank you. That's the first thing. To everyone that's bought a book, thank you. For everyone that is planning to buy a book, thank you. Like, what I think... I don't know what will happen next. I'm trying to figure out... it's not that I'm trying to figure out. I am figuring it out. Like, a plan of attack. My plan is to now start sending out press releases. I've got that in my list of things to do today. I've written up a press release. I'm going to send it out. I've started looking for other, like, journalists and stuff, and finding people's email addresses. So I spent a lot of time just looking at newspapers and trying to find articles that people have written about books or things that are similar, and then messaging them. So I'm going to start doing that today. The other thing I'm going to do is, I've had this fucking great... I think it's a great idea. I think it's a fantastic idea. It might not be, but I think it is. About Christmas, right? Now, Remember when I was doing... It wasn't that long ago, but I was trying to get that ISBN number, but the people that were trying to get me to do it, or the people I was going to get to do it for me on Fiverr, I had to put it out under their publishing company, which is why I had to spend upwards of, I think it was like 90 odd quid or something, on an ISBN number so I can say it came from Elementary Penguin Publishing, right? I had to do that. It's part of the fucking plan. I have to have that, and I have got it now, right? But I'm now left with £18 worth of credit in my Fiverr account because I cancelled that thing. So one of the things I was going to do is write 150 words about the book as an advert and send it to some American person to do it. And on the run-up to Christmas, I'm getting walrus, like, I'll design it all, proper walrus Christmas wrapping paper. So if you buy a copy of the guide from me, I will wrap it. And it can be a gift for someone, and it will arrive at their door wrapped with a proper fucking thingy-ma-bobber thing. What'd you call the things? Labely thing and all that. And I was like, that's a good way to try and punt books, which is how I think this thing works about it written down in my wallet. I think what it is see, because I see it every day. See, every time I open my wallet to pay for something, I see that bit of paper I showed you last week, right? And every time I see it, I think about it, even when I'm not aware of it. But you're constantly looking for new ways to make money. And not to make money, to sell the number, to get that, to hit that next thing, because you're constantly thinking about it, right? So that was my idea. It was like, there'll be people out there who will maybe go, oh, I'll buy that. I love that book. I'll buy that for a gift. And I was like, right, cool. That's maybe a good idea. That's a good idea. Let's try that. Because I've never done the Christmas thing before. I've never done the thing where it's like, right, oh, commissions are open for Christmas. Like, I've never done that. And I don't really want to. But I've now got... what's that? How's them? Am I going to do the maths in my head? 74. I've now got 74 copies of the book that haven't arrived yet, by the way. Like, they're not here. They won't come till... They were going to come on Friday. This was the other thing, man. They were going to come on Friday, but the place that I'm getting to print them sent me a thing going, we've had to pause your order because of this, and it was like something to do with bleed. And the all the covers I'd sent, and I was like, I thought I'd done that, and it turns out I hadn't done that, so I had to do it again. And then I got another email saying there was something else, so I changed that. And then I got another email saying there was something else, and I changed that, and I sent them an email going, see if there's anything else to be changed here. Can you just tell me everything that has to be done at the one time, instead of sending me fucking three different emails and like me talking to a computer on the computer to a computer telling me what I have to do? Do you know what I mean? Like, that's, if you could do that, that would be great, because it's a bit of a fucking nightmare. And I said to them, I was like, my plan is to get this, and everybody that's bought one, that isn't, it's not coming to Australia, because I can't make it go any quicker to Australia, but like, they'll be, to be at the door, I want everything out of here by November the 1st, right? So that I can then start doing the other things, because then I'm going to get a release date for the seemingly meaningless, the seemingly meaningless EP that's coming out, and I need to start thinking about the artwork's going to look for that, and how I'm going to promote that, and all that sort of stuff. Not me, how the Eggman's going to do it. The Eggman's going to fucking do it, man. The big egg, he's going to do it. And then the Penguin's thinking about fucking the book and how I'm going to sell that. He was the one that was talking to me about the Christmas paper. He's like, ah, by the way. So fucking, this is what it's turned into. It was always kind of like that. It's always been kind of like that. There's always been this thing about turning this thing into something bigger. I remember writing a thing years ago, and it was because of Salad Fingers. I don't know if you remember Salad Fingers. If you haven't seen Salad Fingers, go give it a look. It was David Firth, who it was like animations, wee stories about this character. I seen them when I was in college, and I became obsessed with them, like absolutely fucking obsessed with them, and watched them all the fucking time. And I started coming up with this world I was calling Smithville, which was basically just like a pure ripoff of fucking the Salad Fingers thing. And I was designing all these characters, and I was building a website, and I was writing poems, and I was doing illustrations and wee comics and wee animations and stuff all about all these different characters in Smithville. And I remember at college, when I was at college, they asked us to do, it was media, when I was doing media at college, they asked us to do a presentation about a thing that you wanted to do, like an idea or whatever, and I hadn't fucking bothered my arse to do it, but I just got up and spoke about the fucking Smithville thing. And I remember while I was talking about it, thinking about how ludicrously big it was, like how fucking massive the idea, like it became, where it was like, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do all these fucking things. And I remember the lecturer going, that's a really good idea, I wish you every luck with it in the future, and then never doing anything about it. As soon as I stopped talking about it, I sat down and was like, I'm never doing that, that's me finished. Like, that's that. Whatever was in my, that's it, gone now. So with the Walrus thing, it's always been a bit fucking massive, man. I mean, it started as a mural. It started as a, what I seen in my head when I listened to I Am the Walrus, I wanted to paint it on a wall, which then led me down the path of doing the same with Mooney Daydream by David Bowie, and Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds, and Monkey Gone to Heaven by the Pixies. There was loads of songs. Subterranean Homesick Blues by Bob Dylan. And these were big fucking, in my head, big massive gable end murals with all these things painted on them. I actually done a fucking thing for, it was in Dundee. There was a commission in Dundee, and they were looking for people to come up with ideas for a thing. This was years ago, and I'd sent them a thing, and it was the Octopus's Garden. And I wanted to, and the whole idea of all these murals was, I'd paint this thing in a wall, you would stand further back, and there'd be a set of footprints on the ground, and you would stand on the footprints, and you would take out your phone, and you'd listen to the song on your headphones, and you'd just look at the mural, and all the things that were in my head when I hear music. Because that's what happens to me. I don't know if it happens to anybody else, but things appear fully formed in my head. Like, that's what it is. And then the challenge, the fucking nightmare, because it is hard, it's fucking difficult, man, is to get the thing that you see in your head out your head onto a bit of paper. That's the hardest bit, is trying to replicate the thing that just appears into the thing. Because it's the same as that, I've got it written down there, for God's sake, Eggman, we don't need all the drama. And then in my head, it was just like the Eggman with a top hat on, fucking going mental down the phone, shouting, you tell the man he'll just need to wait 11 seconds for the vocal to kick in, like everybody else. Like, that's how it appears, and then it's about trying to fucking get it down. That's the endless fucking thankless task that I've set myself. But that's what these murals were. That's what the Walrus was at one point. And it just kept going. And it just kept turning into the, I think that was the closest thing I could get with the stuff I could do at the time. That was the only bit that was like, that was, That was impossible, but in a possible way. To paint a thing on a wall, I could paint things on the wall. All I need to do is convince somebody to let me paint it on a wall. That's, and then, but obviously it never happened. But like, that's the, that was how it started, and it just turned into this big massive thing where I've now got fucking penguins living in my head and all that kind of thing. Like, I don't know. I don't know how it works. I just know that it works if I leave it alone. And I hope that's what the, it's mad because no one's read the fucking thing yet. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm sitting here and I'm like, I know what I've written. I know the things I've said, right? I know what all the drawings are. But everybody, no one has a fucking clue what it's going to be like when they see it and they read it or whatever. But like, to me, it's more like a poem. It's not screeds and screeds of text. It's almost line by line. Whereas the first time I wrote it, it was screeds and screeds of text because it was just me fucking writing, manically fucking out my nut, writing as many fucking things that were coming at my head as possible down on a bit of paper. I hand wrote fucking hundreds of it. There's a bit in one of these fucking, see these books where I write all my notes and all the shit I'm going to do. There's one, I'll see if I can find, I can find it because I've kept every single one of them. There's a bit in it where I was in the soft play. I took the younglings to the soft play and I sat in the corner and I wrote down a detailed description of how to time travel. That's the God's honest truth. I wrote the whole fucking thing down by hand and then went home and typed the whole thing up and then fucking deleted and moved shit about for 3 years while I was trying to figure out what the fuck is it I'm actually trying to do. Do you know what I mean? But that's where I'm at. So I'm now at the point where I've sold 176. They were supposed to arrive on Friday. They were supposed to arrive this Friday, but because it kept getting paused, they're not going to arrive to Tuesday now, which gives me 4 days to sign them all, to get them all fucking wrapped up and all that, and get them out the door. And that'll be it. That's not the first time that's ever happened. Do you know what I mean? Where I've been like, how the fuck? I remember we had to make... So when I had that 1,000 fans thing with my mate Colin, me and him... I don't know what time we went home, man. It might have been. It was the very, very, very fucking early in the morning. We pulled a 24-hour to screen print Colonel Mustard t-shirts. That's what we were doing. And there was times where, like, we were sitting with... Because we were making t-shirts for people on demand. So there was times where we were sitting, there was, like, maybe 40 fucking t-shirts going out the door. And it was, like... And I'd printed them all in the TTG printer and done all the stuff and all that and fucking packaged these all up and done all that shit. I'm just now going to need to do it again for myself rather than doing it for other people, which is a bit, that's a daunting task when you're then looking at all the things, because I don't know how much space 250 books takes. There was a bit where it says that, there was a bit about them delivering that on a pallet. It's like, am I going to get a fucking, is a pallet of books going to turn up at my door? Where the fuck am I going to put them all? Do you know what I mean? But I just need to figure it out. And then the other thing is, I was like, oh, I'm playing a gig. That's why I said that thing about the playing a gig. I can't even take them there. That was the plan was I was going to take some of the copies there and try and punt them like that. That's what I was going to try and do. But I don't know what to say. I don't know what to say about the whole thing, except I am fucking, it's great. It's fucking brilliant. I'm so fucking happy that that happened. Do you know what I mean? I'm so thankful that that happened. And... like, that thing about having the thing in my wallet and constantly thinking about what it will feel like to score it out, I don't know if it works. I don't know if there's any science with it, but that bit worked, and I'm on the road to 250, and then that will be my next thing. So I'm thinking about what it's like to take, because it was a copy of Thrasher magazine I used to score this out so I could get a straight line. So I'm now trying to think about what it's like to take a copy of Thrasher and set it down on top of that line and then take that black pen and just put a line right through it. That's what I'm thinking. And we'll see how it goes. But this week I'll be trying to do as much as I can to promote it. Do you know what I mean? And that's it. I think that's it. I think that's all I've got to say. So thank you very much for your time, because it's the most important thing you've got, and I will catch you next time on Confessions of a Walrus Chaser.